Matthew chapter 28 tonight. It'll take me a while to get there. Matthew chapter 28. I appreciate you being here for this special service. I realize there are some that are watching live and others that will watch this later, God willing, as we come to this Vision Night service. Now, let me just let you know that I've not seen some extra biblical revelation. That's not the vision, okay? What I'm simply talking about is what the Lord has laid on my heart for this church for this year. And it's interesting. I'd like the men to come forward with these sheets. I'd like everybody to have one of these half sheets in your hand and with a pen to be able to write some things down. So we may need to have some pens available. They've got them. They're a step ahead of me. If you do not have one of these half sheets, and thank you for giving me that, it looks like this. They're bringing it up the aisle. If you do not have one, you can go ahead, men, and just make sure that you get one. I encourage you to take notes tonight. I don't do this often at all, but I do encourage you to take notes to kind of keep this. And I would hope that you have your Buffalo Ridge refrigerator magnet still hanging on your refrigerator. This would be something to take notes on and put this on your refrigerator. And the reason we did a refrigerator magnet is because if you're anything like me, you'll see it often. Amen. You know, all these kind of things. And make this a prayer list. And I want to pray with you and ask God to give us an understanding of this, that God will show us what He'd have us to do. And let's pray together, okay? Our Father, touch it and bless it, I pray. Thank you for how you've dealt in my heart about this. And I pray that you help me to do an accurate job to portray what you're getting across to us. May the will of God be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know that as your pastor, it is my desire to follow the Lord. I want to do what God wants this local church to do. I've spent much time in prayer, maybe not as much as I should, but I spend much time in prayer seeking God for His will, His direction for this church, what He'd have us to do for this coming year. And what the Lord has laid on my heart, I personally feel, is not just for this year, but until the trumpet sounds. Because this is something God's been challenging my own heart about, something that's not new under the sun, something that we're really kind of already doing, but we just want to step it up a notch, get a little bit more organization in place, more leadership in place, and go forward for God. You're right here with me. I'm using something here. That worked. That is amazing. Thank you, Mr. Bob. If you're right there with me, I want to begin this right here, this vision night tonight, with this first question. Why does this local church exist? Now, I'm not going to ask you to respond, but I'm going to pause here just a moment. I want to ask you this. Why is this church here? Why do we exist? Why does any church for God exist? Why was it God's will to start Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? And if you're thinking with me right now and saying, to get the gospel around the world, you're incorrect. Really? Yes, really. We do not exist just to get the gospel around the world. Here's why we exist. I'd like to ask you to write it down. We exist to glorify God. That's the answer. That's not an answer, that's the answer. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. That's why this church is here tonight. In Ephesians 3:21 says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. May I say this to you? A church can give the gospel out and still not be a church that glorifies God. Do you understand that? See, this is an all-encompassing statement. Why does this church exist? It exists to glorify God. That amazes me. That's great. Now, secondly, how does this local church glorify God? How do we do it? How do we do it? How do we do it? How do we glorify God? The word glorify means to magnify. It means to make bigger, to elevate, to worship, if you will. How do we do this? Now, there's several things that could be said here, all right? Several things, and you would be right in saying it. But the way the Lord spoke to my heart to share it with this church for Vision Night is with this statement. This church can glorify God by obeying His commands. That's the answer. By obeying His commands. What does God expect this church to do other than just live in obedience to Him? One of the greatest ways that we glorify God is we submit to Him. We obey Him. We love Him. And we do what He asks us to do. Now this brings me to my third slide here. Appreciate Brother Bob putting all these together. And that is, what has God commanded this local church to do? See, we're looking at this. Why does this church exist? To glorify God. How do we do that? We do what He asks us to do. Well, the logical question then is this. What has He commanded us to do? What has God commanded the local church to do? Now, if we're going to glorify Him by obeying His commands, that's only a logical question, right? And that being the case, I want to give you three things that the Lord laid on my heart for this year and really the rest of our days upon this earth as a local church. It's letter A here. Here's number one. Here's the first command He's given to the local church. Here's where the gospel comes in. Carry out the Great Commission. We carry out the Great Commission. Now, you're in Matthew chapter 28. This is one part of the Great Commission. There's a part given in all four Gospels and then Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But I'm just going to give you here in Matthew chapter 28 verse number 18 and following. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world. Amen. Now there's the Great Commission in a nutshell. There's four parts to it. Go. And then He uses the word teach. When you look that up, it carries the idea of make disciples. In other words, win them to Christ, okay? So you go, you win them to Christ, baptizing them, and then teaching them all things whatsoever He's commanded. That is the Great Commission in a nutshell. We're to go, we're to win, we're to baptize, we're to teach. Let me say this to you. Everything we do at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church should be focused in one of those four aspects of the Great Commission. Everything we do. I'm talking about it's either we're going, we're winning, we're baptizing, we're teaching. Now, our teaching ministry is where I'm headed towards here in just a moment. So number one, letter A, the first command He's given us is to carry out the Great Commission. Now tonight, it's not my purpose to start talking about faith promise missions. That's a given. But you understand that comes under this right here, our faith promise, our door-to-door, our out shaking the bushes, our out door-knocking visitation, that would all fall under letter A here. So God has commanded the local church to carry out the Great Commission. Number two, God has commanded the local church to call upon Him in prayer. There's no doubt that this is a command of God to the local church. As a matter of fact, in the book of Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 2, here's what He told that church. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Do you realize that it is God's command to the local church to be prayer warriors? That's God's command. God has commanded this church to carry out the Great Commission, to get the gospel around the world. I'm talking about across the street, in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. That is God's will, to go. It's His will to win people to Christ. It's His will to baptize converts. We need to make a big deal out of the baptistry. We really do. Because that's the will of God, part of the Great Commission. Then He wants us to teach them all things whatsoever He's commanded. That is His command to the local church. We need to be involved carrying out that command. Secondly, just like He's commanded us to carry out the Great Commission, He's commanded us to call upon Him in prayer. May I say this to you? A church that gives the gospel but does not pray does not please God. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't say that carrying out the Great Commission is not pleasing to God. I'm saying this. Calling upon God in prayer is just as much a command of God to the local church as it is to get the gospel around the world. It really is. Now, I'm not going to dwell here tonight. You understand I could. I'm not going to dwell here, but we are still working. Brother Bob has helped me with this tremendously. And I just met with the deacons right before church tonight about the deacon-led prayer groups. That's just one part of our Wednesday night prayer ministry that we're going to be beginning, God willing, when I get back from India sometime in February, or God willing now, just pray with me on this. Brother Bob has created a brand new prayer sheet. I'm excited about all of this. It's my burden as pastor that no ministry ever starts and no ministry is carried on without prayer being a vital part of that ministry. We've got to pray. Friends, we've got to bring God in on this thing. I like what Mr. Woodard says. He talks about it this way, that's a God thing. You ever heard him say that? That's a God thing. I like that. Let me say this to you. If we want to try to serve God in our flesh, He'll let us. He'll let us try it. But we'll soon find out that God never intended His work to be carried out in the energy of our flesh. We've got to have God's Holy Spirit power upon us. And the only way to have that is if we're praying and we're obeying His commands. I can't get bogged down there because I'm trying to get to the main thought of the message here. Number one, what's He commanded the local church? To carry out the Great Commission. What's He commanded the local church? To call upon God in prayer. What's He commanded the local church? Number three, to care for its own body. To care for its own body. I'm not going to turn to it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27 teaches about how the body of Christ ought to be caring one for another. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. Let me go back a minute here. Why does this local church exist? It exists to glorify God, to praise Him, to glorify Him. Now, how does this local church glorify God? Now, there are several answers that could be given to that, but the one I gave to you tonight is we glorify Him by obeying what He's told us to do. Then the logical question is, okay, if we're to glorify Him by obeying His commands, what are His commands for this local church? And these three major commands are to carry out the Great Commission, to call upon Him in prayer, and to care for our own body. Now, that being the case, everything this local church does is to fall under one of these three commands. Let me repeat. Everything this church does is to be involved and fall under one of these three commands that the Lord has given to this local church. I want to make a vitally important statement here. If it does not fall under one of those three things, we are simply spinning our wheels and wasting our God-given time on something He never gave us to do. Did you hear what I just said? Friends, it is my desire to see this local church saturated in these three commands, carrying out the Great Commission, calling upon God in prayer, caring for one another. And with this in mind, I want to emphasize the vision for 2016. What has God laid upon the heart of your pastor for this year, really for the rest of our time on earth, to help fulfill those three commands, specifically one and three, but also number two, and that is the Sunday school. Now, I want to emphasize to you, and I realize that most of you here are, okay, but it's vitally important that you see this. Even if you're part of Sunday school, you need to see this, because this is how God is laying on my heart to cause this, to help this church go to the next level. Now, I'm keeping this up there really for the rest of the service. Get plugged in to Sunday school. Now, ask God to help you understand this. Now, get this. While there are great ministries, there are great ministries doing a wonderful job in some aspect of these three commands. In other words, there are ministries that is that's just focused on getting the gospel out. You see what I'm saying? Or there are ministries just focused on ministering to our body, like our shut-in ministry, our nursing home. Even though the nursing home, you can give the gospel, but our shut-ins, that's part of letter C. You understand? There's great ministries like that. I'm not downplaying those ministries. I'm not doing that at all. But what I'm saying to you is this: the Lord has really laid on my heart the importance of Sunday school and the impact that Sunday school can have to glorify Him by obeying His commands. Now, I'm going somewhere with all this. Stay with me now. Because if you're sitting here right now saying, well, I'm already part of that, I come to Sunday school, that's not everything I'm talking about. Stay with me, okay? After all, get this. Is the bus ministry a vital ministry of this local church? Amen. No doubt about it. But what is the bus ministry working to get people to? Sunday school. And the bus ministry and Sunday school are to work hand in hand, glove in glove, working to carry out the Great Commission, to call upon God in prayer, and to care for the body. It works together. And what I'm saying to you here is that all ministries, where it's possible, should work to get people into Sunday school. For instance, we are getting ready to start an East Tennessee State ministry. God willing, we have found a couple of ETSU faculty and staff who are willing to adopt that ministry to help us get on campus out there. But that ministry is not just going to that campus. That ministry is getting on that campus to share the gospel, to get people saved, to get them here in Sunday school. Don't you see where I'm going with this? These ministries are here to try to build our Sunday school. See, Sunday school is where people can make connections with others and get connected to the work of God in this local church, to glorify His name by obeying His commands, carrying out the Great Commission, calling upon Him in prayer, caring for the body. All of that can be done and emphasized in Sunday school. You show me somebody that comes to church Sunday morning, doesn't come back Sunday night, doesn't come back Wednesday night, and does not become part of the Sunday school, how many times do they get involved in the church? How many times do they get connected to the church? And it's so easy for people like that to fall through the cracks, right? But if somehow we could get them connected, plugged into Sunday school, it's going to be hard for them to fall through the cracks. Because our Sunday school classes are going to be following up on them. Our deacon-led prayer groups are going to be following up on them. Our staff, God willing, will help follow up on them. I'm saying this is vitally important. I'm convinced that these commands that I shared with you earlier can be fulfilled through the Sunday school of this local church. We can carry out the Great Commission through Sunday school. We can call upon God in prayer through Sunday school. We can care for the body through Sunday school. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not calling upon God in the other ministry. Sure, all of it applies elsewhere, but the Sunday school is a great place to carry through and follow through on and all of this. Sunday school's the place to emphasize these great commands. Sunday school's the place, instead of me getting up in the pulpit and taking 5 minutes, I'm talking about every service to emphasize it, the Sunday school can be emphasizing it. And not just the pastor talking about it, but all these Sunday school teachers talking about it. And that being the case, let me give you an outline. This is for you to kind of write some stuff down here about the Sunday school that I want this church to do this year. I want us to do this with the Sunday school this year. Number one, now you'll have to write it down here or turn it on the back. Number one, let's stress Sunday school. That word stress there means to emphasize. I want us to emphasize Sunday school. As pastor, I intend to do this more from the pulpit, especially on Sunday mornings. But along with this, here's what I mean when I say I want to stress Sunday school. I want to stress to you who are currently teachers. How many of you all are teaching in Sunday school right now, children or adults? Okay, I'm talking to you just a moment, okay? I want you to stress this year your class role. Now let me share with you what I'm talking about. Your class role is your mission field. That's your mission field. And you should strive, now here's the words, to exhaust completely your Sunday school roster, your role. Now, here's what I mean. On the class rolls, children, adults, whatever the case may be, there are names of people who have great potential to do something for God. Great potential. Now get this. Exhaust that. Give them something to do in Sunday school. Dream up things to get them involved in, to get them connected. Even the children, get the children involved as greeters. Let them stand at the door and welcome the other kids there to the class. I'm talking about be creative with this. Exhaust them and their influence, their potential. But let me say this to you. Along with their potential to do something for God, every name on our rolls, every name opens up doors of opportunities to present the gospel to so many people. For instance, if you teach children, especially bus children, what an open door you have to exhaust that person this year by learning what their mom's names are and their dad's names and their granddaddies and their grandfathers. Who do they live with? Who's their brothers and sisters? Are they in public school? Encourage them to get their friends to Sunday school. I'm convinced that the greatest person to build a children's class is the children. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you realize that they have potential to reach people that you will never meet? Their classmates, their teammates, their family members, their moms, their dads, their brothers, their sisters. This is what I mean by stressing your class role. Fully exhaust them. Exhaust their potential by giving them something to do. But along with that, see them as an open door to so many people, their teammates, their classmates, their moms, their dads, their brothers, their sisters. See the potential that's already in Sunday school and unleash that for the glory of God. Encourage those on your rolls to reach their own Jerusalem. And to get in the habit of inviting people to Sunday school with them. Every child and adult teacher, and I need to do a better job of this. We need to constantly encourage our class, invite somebody with you this week to Sunday school. And there's nothing wrong with having a little promotion in your class. Clear all of that with me. I'm talking about if you're going to be giving something out and all that, like books, don't ever give anything out that you've not cleared with me first and all of that. But dream up ways to give them something to invite their friends to. Stress Sunday school. See your class roster for what it is and what a potential we have. Get it. What if every person on our class rolls brought one person with them this year? Just one. What if you brought one? What if I brought one? What if those children brought one? And what if half of them stayed? What if a quarter of them stayed? On any given Sunday, we have somewhere around 500 in Sunday school. On any given Sunday. It fluctuates, okay? What if a quarter of those people brought one person and half of them stayed? Our Sunday school would grow by about 50 to 75 this year. I'm not talking about something that's outrageous, no. But let's stress Sunday school. Number two, I can't get bogged down. Let's sign people up in Sunday school. These all start with S. You know me well enough now, right? I try to start them with the same letter when I can to help you understand and remember. Stress Sunday school. See the potential on your class roster. Here, if your class roster is your mission field, then you ought to go on a rampage to get people signed up in Sunday school. That doesn't mean that they go on your roster, but it could mean that they go in your prospect notebook. In other words, you're constantly looking for somebody that you can get in Sunday school. and you sign them up that way, constantly look out for people that you can register in your Sunday school class or department, so that way you can keep up with them. And when you have special days or special pushes, you send them invite cards. You try to get them in Sunday school. This becomes your mission field, to minister to people, to reach them with the gospel and involve them in the work of the Lord. Get in the habit when you go out and you see somebody, if they come to your class, you ought to get them registered in your class immediately. Sign them up. Why? Because they're now prospects for you, and you don't want to lose them. You want to stay in touch with them and exhaust them until they say, take me off, or whatever the case may be. They're going to stay on there until we fully exhaust them. Sign people up in Sunday school. Number three, start new classes. This is something that the Lord's laid on my heart. New classes equal new people, and new classes equal new potential. Now, as the Lord brings up new classes that can reach people for His glory, we want to be obedient to Him. This year, I'm praying right now, I'm praying about starting three Sunday school classes. Three of them. Now, a fourth one would be my starting point class, but that's just occasional throughout the year. One Sunday school class that I'm praying about is the single ladies, out of college to about 40 or 45 years old. I'm talking about folks who are like single mothers. Do you realize there are single mothers everywhere? Everywhere. Another one would be single men around that same age, out of college to about 40, 45 years old, something along that line. I'm praying about starting a 20s couples class. You say, Jody, you going to do all this? I don't know yet. I told you I'm praying about it, okay? And we're asking God to lead us in a plain path. Now get this, along with these new classes that gets new leaders, that has new potential, I'm planning on having occasional what I call target Sunday school classes. Now what a target Sunday school class would be special emphasis throughout the year that you can invite people to that class. For instance, a target class would be a class on finances. A target class would be a class on marriage. A target class would be a class on raising children. It hits a specific target. It wouldn't go on long. It might be a month. But it's going to be targeted Sunday school classes, God willing, God helping us with this, to invite people to come. It breaks up the monotony, you see, a little bit. And there will be people who are interested to come to Sunday school when we're plowing on their road. You understand what I'm saying to you? Have you all know somebody who is raising, they're still raising children, but as far as you know, they're not in church? How many of y'all know somebody like that? Look at all them hands. Okay. If we had a class on biblical parenting and we make an invite card, guess who I expect you to go give that card to? Those people. Now, they may never come, but it's a target that hits them, and they may come to a special class like that when they may never come to a regular Sunday school class. Follow me where I'm saying? This is all under start new classes. Now, that kind of class would be occasional throughout the year. That's not ongoing, that's just occasional. What I'm praying about, and again, I'm sharing things with you that I'm praying about, okay? I'm praying about these things, is when I do this starting point class, I'm really praying about the next one I do, which is probably going to be in May, sometime like that. I'm really praying about that time being a time when we have the target class going on. Just something that hits people right where they're at, which means that our adult teachers may go away from their normal lesson, and I would give them a special target, or I would give them the liberty, potentially, to come to me for their age group, whatever the case may be, and say, I'd like to teach on this subject. Is that okay? And you're teaching more a targeted series for that time. Okay? That's start new classes. Number four, set up leadership positions in Sunday school. Now, I'm using the word leadership. What I'm talking about is ways to involve people. Okay? Ways to involve people. Dr. Lee Robertson said, everything rises and falls on leadership. And the longer I'm in the ministry, the more I understand what he meant. Leadership is key to a growing Sunday school and a growing church. It really is. It's my burden to get people involved. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying set up leadership positions, something that you can delegate to people to do that needs to be done. But if they will do it, they see themselves as a vital part of that Sunday school class, and it gets them connected to where if they're not there, they're missed. And they begin to see themselves that they're doing something in this church. We can hold them to higher standards and try to build a leadership team to where they're on visitation. They're coming out to visit. See, I want to get to the point to where I'm saying, okay, if you're doing anything in this local church, if you're a leader or doing anything in Sunday school, I want your attention. And I want to get to the point to where at least half the church, if not three quarters of the church, saying he's talking to me. Now, you need to be there on Saturday morning for Saturday morning prayer breakfast. I'm talking about the soul winning. And instead of 50 people thinking I'm talking to them, 150 now think I'm talking to them. If you help me by creating things that they can do, by the way, I'm planning on training you in this. I'm talking about the Sunday school current teachers. Don't worry about it. I've got a packet I'm working on, all this. I'll share with you some things that I'm talking. For instance, let me just give you one idea just to kind of show you where I'm going. Is it important in the adult class? Let me talk to the adult classes just a moment. Is it important for those who are absent in Sunday school to receive a contact the week that they're absent? Yes? Absolutely. That's something you can give to somebody to do. That's something every group in your Sunday school class could do. Instead of you doing it, give that to somebody else and make them the absentee leader or the absentee worker, whatever you want to call it. Somebody in your class would willingly and lovingly do that. And it would connect them to your class, get them involved, and help you do something for God. This is what I mean by set up leadership positions in Sunday school. Number five, if you're going to set those positions up, I'll help you with that. You don't need to worry about, well, what is that? Don't worry about it. I'll help you. I'll train you in all of this. I'm just introducing this to you, okay? Number five, you need to search for leaders. Search for workers. God has people in this church who have tremendous potential to do something for His glory. And finding these people and getting them involved in Sunday school is a great work to be done. By the way, these people are not just anybody, but rather they fall under what the Word of God says in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And when you study those passages, you'll notice that they're to be able men, those who fear God, those who are men of truth who hate covetousness, and those who are simply faithful. See, there are people who are faithful to church, but they're doing nothing. What am I saying here? Give them something to do. Create something to do. And give it to them to do and turn them loose. And ask them to help you do something for God's glory. So I challenge all current Sunday school teachers to search for potential leaders to help you do what God's given you to do in your class or your department. Something that I'm going towards, and all again, you don't have to worry about all the details. That's later. I'm just introducing you to this. Another emphasis of this would be a missionary person, a missionary worker, a missionary leader. In our children departments, what a great ministry it would be for somebody who may even be in our adult Sunday school class to come out of their adult Sunday school class just for 2 or 3 minutes and go to the sixth grade department and share with that sixth grade department about that missionary, what his name is, what his children's names are, when their birthdays are, just to keep missions before the people and then go right back to Sunday school. They may never do anything else in this church, but they'd be willing to share a missionary letter. Do you follow me what I'm saying here? Get people involved. Look for people to do something for the glory of God. Somebody put it this way, the function of a leader is to produce more leaders, not followers. I like that statement. The function of a leader is to produce more leaders, not followers. Now, when you find a potential leader, somebody that can do that, and let me give you some things to do with him. First of all, engage him. What I mean by that is they have to be willing. You can't just say, I want him to do this, I want to give it. No, you have to go to him, you have to engage him, see if he or she is willing to do this. You equip the leader. You don't just turn them loose without first equipping them what to do. The equipping's done by instructing them on what's expected and investing time with them. Somebody said it this way, you can be a model to the masses, but to go to the higher levels of influence, you have to work with individuals. An excellent way to spend one-on-one time with them is to take them with you soul winning. Take them with you out on visitation. Show them how to do what's expected. Now, I hope I don't embarrass him. But Travis Steels and his wife have just recently surrendered to full-time Christian service. And God has laid on my heart to spend my time with him right now. I'm trying to train him. I'm trying to help him. We began this yesterday. Out visiting, all these kind of things. He's going with me. He's got a burden to do something for God. I've spoken to him about the Sunday school class. He's praying about maybe becoming the absentee leader in one of the groups. But what I want to do is sit down with him, or his group captain sit down with him after I sit down with them and say, here's what I want the absentee leader to do, and say, okay, now as you pray, if you take it, here's what the pastor would like for you to do. Now you pray about it, because this is what you're agreeing to do. And friends, there are people like that. He must be instructed on what's expected, and he must be instructed on what's expected, and then he must have time invested in him to start training him on what it means to be in the ministry. Friends, I'm telling you something. If we do this, there's no telling what's going to happen at Buffalo Ridge. You must engage him. You must equip the leader. Thirdly, empower the leader. What that means is this. One of the hardest things to do for some people is to turn loose of something. By the way, somebody said it this way. Typically, we want things done perfect, and perfect is the way we do it. Did you hear what I just said? It's hard for some people to delegate. It's hard for some people to let go of something. But when I say empower the leader, that's exactly what I'm talking about. If we do not get leaders involved, I'm talking about more leaders involved, and turn them loose to do the job, we're going to stunt the potential growth of our class. By the way, this applies to children. This applies to children, teens, adults. Get them involved. We must unlock and unleash leaders. Someone made these following statements. Leaders who believe that to have something done right, they have to do it themselves, will end up accomplishing very little. Somebody else said, no matter how much work you can do, no matter how engaging your personality may be, you will not advance far if you cannot work through others. Now, I'm just about done now, okay? Somebody said, the people around me free me from being a slave to the urgent so that I can accomplish the important. Friends, listen to me. Are there important things to do in the ministry? Yes. You know what I'm preaching to you tonight? I'm teaching to you tonight. God wants us to emphasize Sunday school. To do what? To glorify Him. To do what? To obey His commands. What commands? To carry out the Great Commission. To call upon Him in prayer, to care for the body. I'm going to show you the details of this later, but care groups, caring for the body, that can be done in Sunday school. Emphasizing door-to-door can be done in Sunday school. Getting workers come from Sunday school. I'm just introducing it to you tonight, but if we're going to do this, we've got to find workers in our Sunday school classes now. And we've got to create things for them to do and turn them loose and do it in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, the widows were being neglected. Now, was that a legitimate need? Yes. But they delegated it to the first deacons. They looked out among them, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was one of them, remember? So that they could devote their time to this, the study of the Word, the prayer. This is the same principle. You don't have to do it all. God's made His work bigger than me. It's bigger than you. Your Sunday school class is bigger than you. So get people to help you. Let go of some things. Turn them loose as leaders and help them. And when you find this, You engage the leader. You equip the leader. You empower the leader. Let him loose. And then finally, you encourage the leader. When you put a leader in place, don't leave him alone. Encourage him. Let me give you three things to encourage him for. I know I'm giving you a lot of stuff tonight. That's why I gave you something to write down, okay? First of all, encourage him to remain faithful. Don't quit. Secondly, encourage him to reach his own Jerusalem. Can I give you something to challenge you tonight for this year? Reach your Jerusalem. Do you realize this church has a Jerusalem? It's the Tri-Cities area. But every person has a Jerusalem. It's our neighbors, co-workers, classmates, teammates. Just apply it to where you're at. Everybody has a Jerusalem. Can you imagine what would happen if we just reached our own Jerusalem? Just those that we have contact with? Is that God's will to do that? Encourage your leaders to do it. The others may not, but your leaders might. You see where I'm going with this? Encourage them. And then thirdly, encourage them to reproduce themselves and others. Now, so the bottom line tonight is this. We want this church to be a church that's not spinning its wheels in place. We want this church to not be a church where it's wasting its time on things. No, we want to be focused and zoned in on what God wants us to do. So we have to understand why are we here in the first place? It's to glorify Him. How do we do it? We obey what He tells us to do. Okay, what's He given us to do? Carry out the Great Commission. Call upon Him in prayer. Care for the body. And the way the Lord has laid on my heart as your pastor, the way to fulfill that in a great way here. Now there's other ministries doing a great job, phenomenal job, helping to fulfill these commands. But the way the Lord has laid on my heart for Vision 2016 is let's take our Sunday school to the next level. And the way to take it to the next level, friends, is we've got to stress it. We've got to emphasize it. We've got to emphasize it to those who are coming. We've got to emphasize it on Sunday mornings for those who are coming to church to get in Sunday school. We've got to emphasize it to our own teachers to focus on their roster and fully exhaust it and activate their members and encourage them to reach out to their own Jerusalem. We need to sign up people in Sunday school. Get them registered so you can stay in touch with them and go after them. Let's start some new classes. Let's find things in our Sunday school department or class that, hey, I can give that to somebody else to do. Yes, it needs to be done, but listen, maybe somebody else can do this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with that. As long as you keep a tight rein on things, somebody may be happy to contact the absentees for you. Somebody may be happy to be a group captain who will take a meal to somebody when they're sick. Just do this. I'll train you in that later. When I say I'll train you, I'm talking about current Sunday school workers. So don't worry about any of that. Find things for people to do. Search for people that you can approach and say, you know, that is a faithful person. That's a faithful person. Now, again, we don't want to just approach somebody. You need to make sure that all of this falls under the authority of the pastor and all of this. I would encourage the church, before you approach anybody to take a leadership position in Sunday school, they need to come through me. Please understand, it's not because it's Jody Jenkins. It's because it's the pastor of the local church. So you, in other words, I don't want people just going around saying, hey, will you do this? No. You come to me and say, you know, God's speaking to me about this person. Would you be okay if I approach him? Or would you be okay if I approach her to help me do this in Sunday school? And I'll be, yes, yes. You make sure they come see me first. And I'll talk to them about, hey, if you take this, then here's what I would expect out of you. You ought to be, listen, if you're going to do anything in Sunday school, you ought to be back in church on Sunday night. Amen. If you're going to do anything in Sunday school, you ought to be here Wednesday night. Amen. They need to hear that before they ever accept that position. That don't need to come from you. That has to come from me. You see what I'm saying? Yes? You see this, right? So I'm not saying just go ask people. No, you come to me first, but I want you to come to me with people that you say, I believe that's a faithful man. I believe that's a faithful lady. Would you be okay if I ask them, or would you ask them to be the absentee leader for me or whatever the case? You understand where I'm going with this. Search for people like that. And then we must engage them, equip them, empower them, encourage them. Now let me close with this. Whether you become a leader in Sunday school or not, by the way, God helping me to get back from India, I'll be training the current leaders and so on when I get back. On the details of this, I'm just simply trying to say Sunday school, Sunday school, Sunday school, okay? Let's emphasize it. But let me say this in closing. Whether people become a leader in Sunday school or not, whether they become involved in Sunday school or not, God desires for every person in this local church to fulfill those three commands. So let me encourage us to, and I'm just going to mention these, God helping me, there's seven of them, to do and get involved in the following things. Now, Sunday school, that's the vision. But let me give you seven things that every person ought to be doing. Number one, reaching our own Jerusalem. Whether it's through Sunday school or not, we need to be reaching our neighbors and coworkers and teammates and classmates. Number two, inviting others to come. May I say this to you? There are people who will never knock on a door, but they don't mind to invite somebody to church. So why not give them something to invite to? Invite people to church. Number three, make connections with people. Can I encourage us? I know I'm giving you a lot of information. You may be in overload right now, but let me encourage you to make connections. Here's what I mean. Learn to stop and engage people. You know what I'm learning? God has you in places where somebody needs him. It'll be amazing when you walk and you're going to the hospital or you're going out to eat and there's somebody sitting by themselves outside the Cracker Barrel. This happened to me yesterday. Oh no, I just told you what I did. I went to Cracker Barrel. And God laid on my heart. There you go. And I stopped and I engaged them and I talked to them and gave them a gospel tract. Connect with people. Number four, keep giving the faith promise missions. Don't stop. Keep giving to get the gospel around the world. Number five, get involved in a ministry that glorifies God. Now, I'm encouraging you to get involved in Sunday school. But if it's not Sunday school, you find a ministry that we're doing and you get involved in it. Number six, pray for the Lord to be glorified and praised in this church. And number seven, in closing, just keep walking with God. Walk with God. If our church people will walk with God and pray and get involved in a ministry, and I'm encouraging the Sunday school or whatever other ministry it may be, if they'll keep giving the faith promise and making connections with people and inviting people to church all the time and reaching our own Jerusalem, trying to carry out the Great Commission, call upon God in prayer and care for the body of believers here, God's blessing will rest upon this place. And I want to encourage you tonight to be much in prayer that God willing, when I begin to train the current leaders and so on with the things in Sunday school, here's something that you can give to somebody else, here's something else to think about, pray that the church will grasp it and that we will find leaders, we will launch them out, and we'll go forward for the glory of God. Now, I hope I didn't confuse you tonight. I hope you get a little bit of a grasp of what I'm saying. What are we doing? We're glorifying God by obeying His commands through Sunday school. And get people involved to obey these commands to get the blessing of God to rest upon Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight to understand this, to see it, to get it, to grasp it. May thy will be done. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I know tonight was a little different. It was a lot different. It was me just sharing with you the vision that the Lord's laid on my heart, and that vision is through Sunday school and the leaders in it to step up to the plate and do something for God and stay with it, shaking the bushes, out on visitation, knocking on doors. So tonight, I know it's a little different, but I understand that God works in mysterious ways. And even though I was talking about the vision for this year and talking about Sunday school, maybe God is speaking to you tonight because you've come to church, but you've never come to Christ. And as they begin to play through softly, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is He your Lord? Is He your Master? If you've never been saved, never trusted the Lord as your Savior, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. And tonight I want to challenge our current Sunday school teachers, our current Sunday school workers, that would be adult group captains, department teachers, superintendents. Now there's other positions later, you understand, to create. But those who are currently in there now serving in the Sunday school, and I'd like to include the bus workers in this who work so hard to get people in Sunday school. If that's you, you're currently serving in Sunday school, or you're a bus worker working to get people in Sunday school, I'd like you to lift your eyes and look at me just a moment. Would you do that? Now, if you're not looking at me, God has plans. And it could be that God has another ministry for you, or it could be that God has you in mind for some of these other positions that I was talking about tonight. But if you're looking at me tonight, you're really the ones I'm talking to this evening. Do you understand that? God has big plans for Buffalo Ridge. And what you're doing here is so vitally, vitally important. And God wants to use you to help take this church to the next level. He really does. I'm looking forward to the day when each one of you looking at me now says, I've had my eye on somebody. I believe they'd make a great Sunday school worker. What do you think, Pastor? I agree. Let's get them involved. Before they ever get involved, let's make sure I meet with them so I can talk to them about what's expected out of leadership, and let's turn them loose for the glory of God. And let's encourage our class to reach their own Jerusalem. And let's exhaust our own roles by taking that person as far as they lead us. Family members, relatives, schoolmates, classmates. You understand what I'm saying. I want to encourage you, if God would lead you, to ask God to help you grasp this and help you, help us take this church to the next level. Hope you're on board with it. Hope you see it. I hope you're getting it. Get your children involved. Get your adults involved. Do it now. You can have some of them greeting, all these kind of things. If it's adults, you make sure they come through me. But if it's children, help yourself. Okay? I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. I think it'd be good to close this service with just praying for our Sunday school, asking God to touch and bless this. As he sings, if you need to be saved tonight, you come. If you just want to come as a Sunday school worker and say, God, would you touch this, what you've laid on our pastor's heart? I want you to do it. Would you do it as he sings? You come now. Would you do that?
All to Jesus I surrender.
Sunday school workers, bus workers.
All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Let's go forward and reach more people. Let's go forward. Get more people involved. Let's go forward and reach our Jerusalem, inviting people. If you're visiting with us tonight, we'd like to invite you to the Welcome Center right after church. We have a special gift for you. We'd like to give it to you just to say thank you for coming. And as you leave tonight, the ushers have some of the big events that we have scheduled for this coming year. It's on this sheet that I'm holding up in front of you. And as you leave tonight, you can get a copy of this. This doesn't have everything our church has planned, but it has a lot of the big things planned. That's on here, so you can put it on your calendar and make plans to be with us. And these are some of the things that you'll encourage your class members to invite people to. Okay? Thank you for being here tonight. If you have any questions for me, please see me. Again, I hope you're grasping what I'm saying. And may the Lord help us with this. Teens and parents, you have a meeting right after church downstairs. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, bless this service now, I pray. And help us to go forward for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Judson and my mom, I need to see you just a moment. Judson and my mom, please. Thank you for being here. God bless you.